Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
DC Misawa. Welcome to the Tempest Universe. Manny. Today's special? Robbing. With fried rice.
China.
Headline edition, July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
It's China to me, China.
Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside.
China!
This is an Tempest Universe, man. Hold on to your ass. You're in for a hell of a ride.
This is the Tempest Universe, and welcome, everyone. Today, we have a special guest, and I got to say, I've been listening to him for so long over the last week that I almost feel like I already know you, Mr. Samuel Chong.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me here. I feel that it's a pleasure to be on many shows like yours.
Yes, and you know, you have a message to give out there and information to share, and I'm glad you're here to share that with our audience as well. I think, like I mentioned, we're on live, so we'll see some questions, and they may pop up on the screen for you. And to give you an example, you might see, something like this pop up on here. And we'll see. We'll see what kind of questions we get. One of the things that I like to do, especially with someone that I'm sure you're going to share so much information with folks that is tied to this particular book. But we like to start before we get into, that's right, the Theoba prophecy.
Yes.
So before we get into that, I want to know a little bit about you, because you're going to go through, it's almost like you went through an adventure early in life, and you took this this worldwide tour to get to the author, Michel Desmarquez, and my God, I got so many questions about that. But first, tell me about you early on, and also what drove you to locate this individual?
Well, I was born in Beijing, China in 1978. I came to the US at the age of 15, studied high school and college, UC Berkeley, went to London School of Economics, and also a university in Spain, and I studied financial analysis over there. And I wanted to make a lot of money in my early days.
Okay.
Very materialistic.
Right.
But I always had a fascination about space and the unknown, the paranormal. I always had this kind of thought that in order to explain the mysteries of the universe, such as the Great Pyramid of Egypt, the Bermuda Triangle, we would just learn it at a much faster pace. We don't need to do a lot of work if we just learn it from the ETs that have an advanced civilization. If they can come to visit us, they must have advanced technologies. We can just get their insights.
Mm-hmm.
then I was looking for information and messages from ET contactees. So that's when I was searching on the internet on Amazon, I found this book. At that time, it was called Abduction to the Ninth Planet.
Right. I've seen that title.
Yes, yes. It really tells all the answers that about the questions I had in mind. Mm-hmm. It also talks about the meaning of life, reincarnation, different ET extraterrestrials, and also the stories in the Bible, how the Bible came about, who Jesus and Christ was and were. And, but then in the postscript, it says there are more incredible things that the author, Michel de Marquet, was not allowed to write about because we were far from understanding them. To me, the book is already incredible enough because if you read it, you're going to be amazed and fascinated by the content.
Yeah,
what's more incredible about it? So
I can see there is quite a lot of coverage in there as far as humanity, especially. But tell me something. At the time that you came across the book, how old were you?
It was in 2014. That's about 9 years ago.
9 years ago?
9 years ago, yes.
Okay. It's fairly recent, so this is pretty incredible. So you came across the book, and did you feel like you needed to know a little more?
Yeah, actually, the book was really very amazing enough for me to delve into it. I read it three times at that time. And then I really wanted to know more because I'm a very curious person. My life motto is learn from the best and know everything there is to know. I wanted to know everything about what he learned and experienced, mm-hmm. including the things that he didn't write in the book. So that really was the motivation and the drive for me to track him down.
Now, that's incredible because I know that I've read a few books and I've never tracked anybody down. So it really must have really hit you at the core to want to go out and find them. So that's incredible. So, you know, before we get into how you tracked Michel down, you mentioned that you were kind of delving in, you were interested in the paranormal, UFOs and things like that. How much were you interested in that topic at the time? Was it something that you really researched?
I did a lot of research in the past for many years. I read so many books on the ETs, mostly just to learn about the information and messages they're trying to send us. Some of them were really vague. I'm a very down-to-earth and very grounded person. I want to know specific verifiable facts that can prove what they say is true. And a lot of the new age information and books are just so out there and so vague and just no foundation. But this book is different. This book contains facts that you can verify and explore further. It's very different.
All right, so you're at the point where you get to the book and you decide, I need to meet him. So tell us a little bit about where was Michel at this time?
Yeah, you know, when I read the book, I thought I just have to meet him to know the important information he intentionally left out in the book. Mm-hmm. Like you, I never wanted to meet the author of certain books that I read because it just doesn't worth it. But this book is very different. He was, I found out that he was living in Vietnam at that time. On a southern island called Phu Quoc. That's the only island or the only place in Vietnam that doesn't require a visa for tourists to go there. But I didn't know his exact address. I just know that some tourists accidentally bumped into him and took some photos of him. And I grabbed a photo from the internet that showed his bungalow, and I flew to Vietnam at my own cost, which was a lot of money for me, $2,000. And I showed the picture to the taxi driver, and the taxi mm-hmm. driver took me right to where he was sleeping at that time.
Isn't that incredible? Is it a coincidence or was it meant to be?
I think it was meant to be because mm-hmm. I went to two different psychics before, psychic Lynn and also the psychic twins. Both of them told me that I was going to be involved in a book of significance. At that time, I didn't know what I was going to be like in the future. And so that's why I was very curious about my destiny. At that time, I didn't think any book was any book of significance, not even the Bible, not even like any other important book that I read right. at that time. But okay. it turned out that this book is the one.
Incredible. Now, going to Michel's personal experience, he actually had experience when he was living in Australia.
Yes, he was a French Australian who was a landscaper, a farmer. He didn't have a lot of education. He didn't know how to use technologies or computers. Until his death, he didn't know how to type. Everything went through his niece, Vietnamese niece, through his dictations. So he was a very down-to-earth, but very kind of interesting character. He sometimes gets very excited about certain things, and he told me a lot of jokes when I was with him.
Oh, really? He doesn't look like he'd be a funny guy.
He was trying to be funny, and he told me a lot of French jokes.
Okay, that's interesting. So he actually disappeared for some time when he had the visit with the Theobans. Is that right? Am I saying it right?
Yes, the Theobans for 9 days, actually for about 10 days or so, back in 1987 in June, where he was living in Cairns, near Cairns in Australia. So what happened was that in the middle of the night, he didn't know why, but he woke up and then he wrote a note to his wife saying that he would be gone for 10 days and there was absolutely no need to worry about him. And then he walked to his backyard. He was lifted up to the middle of the air where he saw a very beautiful 10-foot tall, blonde, Nordic looking ET wearing a spacesuit.
Well, most people would disappear for 10 days being confronted with that.
Yeah, I mean, his wife thought he was having an extramarital affair with him.
And she didn't even see that the Theoban lady. That's incredible. So they, so he was abducted for 10 days, and he took a trip over to their neck of the universe.
Yes. Actually, before arriving at their destination, he first landed in a parallel universe where he saw a lot of very strange people, people wearing medieval clothes and people behaving like savages. According to Tal, the ET who brought him there, those people were trapped in that parallel universe because certain places on Earth, like the Bermuda Triangle, and certain locations in national parks in the US and Canada, there are certain entry points to a portal, like a portal or warp, in which nearby planes and ships and people got sucked into that place. So people stuck there on this, they know how to get out. So he first entered the parallel universe just to prevent people on Earth from seeing them. And then they took him to their spacecraft and they traveled at the speed a few times, the speed of light, and to another planet where they saw like a lot of aftermath of a nuclear war. It's a different planet. It's not the Theoba. It's a different planet in which people have a lot of issues because of the radiation from the nuclear bomb.
I see. Yeah, that's interesting. So he really got to experience a lot in 9 days. But apart from that, they really did share a lot of information with him.
Yes, I think one of the most striking information is that we are part of God and God is part of us. So when God created every one of us, it inserted a tiny portion of itself to our astral body. So we can actually connect to God directly without an intermediary, like an agent, such as organized religions or church leaders or politicians for that matter. We can just meditate and pray or even have a good night's sleep to connect with our higher self, which is part of the creator of the universe.
Fascinating, fascinating. So, 10 days go by and he comes back. Does anybody believe Michelle that he was gone to another, basically another place in the universe?
Well, some people did. Some, a lot of others that didn't. His son, for example, believed his experience because his son was always fascinated by ETs and UFOs. But other people, like even the ufologists in Australia at that time, didn't even believe him because people were talking about reptilians, talking about evil ET invasions, something like that. So some people did, some others didn't.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, you know, you kind of expect that, right? Even today, folks that say they've had experiences go through the same situation, right? Sometimes the stories are too good to believe or too great or too detailed sometimes, I believe. But did he ever share with you what made him leave Australia and end up just leaving the country?
Yes, because after he came back, he was so depressed because when you were shown like a paradise, like a heaven-like place where everything is so perfect, people there were so compassionate and so loving, and then you were told you don't belong here, you have to go back and write a book. He was sent back to Earth to write a book. And you can imagine how he felt at that time. And also imagine when he, after he finished writing his book, he had a difficult time getting published as a nonfiction. People were interested in reading science fiction stories, and they were trying to publish a book as a science fiction, but he insisted to have it published as a nonfiction. He had a lot of difficulties telling and convincing people his stories. So that's why he had a major depression, and actually that caused his marriage. His wife divorced him, and a friend told him, just why not to change to a different environment, and to get yourself settled down, to see if he can get back on his track. So that's why he went to Vietnam, to Phu Quoc, a very beautiful island. He says that Phu Quoc Island resembles a little bit of what Thuba looked like.
I can imagine. So did he ever share with you whether or not he was, I don't know, I want to say, I can't say commanded to, but kind of encouraged by Thubans to write the book? Was it his like mission to get their teachings out to the world?
He wasn't just encouraged by the Thubans to write a book. He was instructed or ordered by the Thubans to write a book. Just like Enoch, you know, remember Enoch was taken away by God, and then he was instructed to write a book. So there came the book of Enoch. And there's a parallel here. When he read the book of Enoch, he believed that Enoch was taken by the same group of ETs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's, he had to write a book because that's his life mission.
Incredible. So we go to the time that you meet. Did he expect you? Did the Oban say, "Hey, this guy Samuel Chong's going to show up at your doorstep. He's going to help you."
You know, it's very interesting. When I first met him, he was very annoyed at me because he was a very private person. He didn't want to be bothered by people just looking for answers about a book. But then, you know, just a few days later, he told me that Tao, the ET, told him that someone was going to visit him. And he believed that person was me. And he showed me a contract, which he signed with a Chinese publisher. And he wanted me to have the book published in China, because that publisher never got back to him. And it turned out that publisher was a kind of state-owned publisher. Because of the censorship, they didn't want the book to be published.
Now, that's interesting that he has signed a contract with a Chinese publisher, and by trade, you're an interpreter.
Yes. I'm a Chinese translator and certified code interpreter. And he asked me to find a different publisher to have the book published. So it took me a while to find the right publisher because, as you know, the book is so revealing and in contrary to the narratives of the Catholic Church or organized religions, or the politicians, or the world governments. So it had to be published as a science fiction in China, but as a nonfiction in Taiwan. And I was able to get this book published in both countries, and it became a bestseller in both places.
Yeah, that is amazing, right? That is an amazing feat on its own. Do you find that at the time that it was published, it became a bestseller? But did people seek out Michelle?
Well, some people wanted to know more, but they didn't have the drive to really track him down to seek for more answers by contacting him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know why I was so curious about this book. Actually, I'm very curious about everything, but
right.
it's just happened to be me to track him down and to meet him for the second time. I met him twice. The second time was 4 months before he passed away.
Yeah.
And it's the second time that he revealed that one information he didn't write in the book.
And so his passing happened, the late 80s?
Yes, in 1987. It happened in 1987.
That's interesting. So did he ever, that information that he wasn't able to share in the book, did he share with anybody else, like someone in his family or his niece possibly?
Very good question. I verified. No, he didn't share.
No.
Share it with anyone else, because if he did, if some other people know about this, they would have been like me, pushing to spread the messages in the book,
right.
Because it's so important and so striking and so shocking.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So now you're at a point, you've met him, you went through the process of translating this book. Do you feel that your mission was accomplished? I guess not, huh?
No, there's a long way to go. This is why I've been so desperately trying to appear on as many shows as possible, like yours and also others, to spread the messages, because I think we are at a very critical moment of time, like a cross point. If we don't change now, it's going to be devastating. There's going to be a catastrophe. And I'm trying to change the course of the future. Because of history, the past is fixed, but the future depends on our actions. I'm trying to use this book, the messages in the book, just to wake people up so that people can really change the ways of thinking and to know how to respond to the challenges ahead of us. Because if you think about what happened in the last few years, it's going to be worse in the future if we don't change.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine that. Now, the Theobans, they really shared information about our own planet here. And I could imagine that they're several light years away, their home planet. But they seem to have had some history with planet Earth, according to the text.
Yes, they have been monitoring us or helping us indirectly throughout history, as documented in the scriptures in the Bible. For example, the destruction of the two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, was actually their doing. And they also led Moses out, helping the Hebrews out of Egypt, the Exodus. And they parted the Sea of Reeds. And they also led give manna to the Hebrews and Moses back then. And they were also instrumental in giving the birth of Jesus and also sending Christ to us to preach spirituality and love, and also to use the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a way to show us that there is life after death and there is reincarnation. But somehow, the organized religions removed reincarnation from the scriptures or from the Bible.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. You think that it's something we're not worthy to know yet?
I think they removed that concept just to better control the people's mind so that people can just rely on them to be saved and to wash their sins away. But there are a lot of scientific evidence showing and proving the about reincarnation. Like people can read the books by Brian Weiss, Dr. Brian Weiss, and also Michael Newton, who used hypnotherapy or hypnosis to document past lives of their patients. And also people can read books written by Dr. Ian Stevenson, a medical doctor who did a lot of research on reincarnation. And I think a lot of other religions like Buddhism and Taoism, and they all believe in reincarnation. And I think if people just look up 911 survivors or reincarnation, 911, like September 11th event,
right,
reincarnation, mm-hmm. and you can find more recent evidence of reincarnation in which the children of nowadays, some of them remember exactly what happened back then during the September 11th event, so detailed. And actually, a few of the parents found the colleagues of their children's past life and then verified the information and found them to be consistent. So actually, like a few firefighters died during the September 11th event, right. and mm-hmm. they reincarnated again to be the children of modern parents, the children, and remembered what happened back then. So that's a modern evidence of the existence of reincarnation.
So did the Ovens, do they go through reincarnation?
They do. They elevate they elevate their spiritual advancement. So once they get into a certain level, like where they're living a category 9 planet, they no longer have to die. So they got to the point that they can live forever. But people like us, we have to learn how to live, how to suffer, how to learn the different life lessons and to die and then reincarnate again. But once our spiritual levels advance to a certain level, like a category 9 planet, we don't have to die anymore. We can just live forever.
That's incredible. Yeah. And so this is, I can't imagine coming back from this experience after 9 days and even feeling normal, you know, like you would feel completely, I would think I'd feel completely out of place. Like I don't even belong on this planet anymore with all the information that I have.
Yeah, he didn't feel very, very good after he came back. I will say that he felt out of place. That's why he moved to Vietnam from Australia and also divorcing his wife. Because people just didn't believe him at that time. People were not ready to take the messages in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then like I got an excerpt here that talks about Easter Island, the Bermuda Triangle, human energy fields. I would think that someone who is a farmer, that would be so overwhelming to take all that information in. But it's incredible that he was able to write it all down and eventually meet you and get it published to a wider audience.
Exactly. If people read the book, they're going to know that there are so many facts and topics discussed in the books that people can really explore further. For example, the human energy fields, like aura. Some people can see the colors of auras, and they can predict certain illness that's going to happen on the person's physical body, because aura or human energy fields is actually a prediction, can predict what's going to happen to a person physically. And they can also tell whether the person is telling the truth or is honest or not, or whether the person is dying or something else is going to happen to that person. So it's a very, very interesting phenomenon. And people like Barbara Brennan and Rosalind Brewery wrote extensively about the human energy fields or auras. And just by the way, Barbara Brennan was a former NASA scientist. And there are a lot of scientists nowadays are doing research on the human energy field. And curling photography is one of the technologies that can show that living plants and animals and human beings have this kind of energy field around them.
Mm-hmm. And that also has to do a lot with like frequencies and things like that as well, doesn't it?
Yes, frequency, vibrations, everything is connected. And actually, vibrations and frequencies are actually the two main keys to neutralize gravity. So the anti-gravitational technology can be developed if we can use a certain vibration to neutralize gravity.
Interesting. I think NASA's listening right now, trying to figure that out. There was a quote in here, and it was actually in your email that was kind of interesting. Let me see if I can pull it up right here.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Referring to Avi Loeb, how familiar are you with Professor Loeb?
I think I'm kind of familiar with him and his discoveries, and I think he's doing great trying to convince the scientists, academic field, people who never thought about this issue of ETs.
Mm-hmm. From Michelle's, I guess, conversations with him and things like that, was he someone that believed that there were, well, I mean, of course he was out there, right? He was, you know, going through the universe, but did he believe before his trip through Theoba that there were life somewhere else throughout the galaxy, throughout the universe?
He did believe there were UFOs and ETs in the universe, but he didn't have any proof. I mean, until he met the ETs.
Right.
Let me describe the ETs, the Theobans. They're really beautiful. Like, they have blonde hair. They're Caucasian, like Nordic looking. They have very beautiful breasts. But they're hermaphrodites, meaning that they have male and female sexual organs together. And they can perform all the miracles as performed by Jesus Christ. For example, they can levitate. They can materialize or manifest objects. They can influence people's thoughts. They can also do a lot of wonderful things like healing, resurrect the dead. They can... just like Jesus. Actually, Jesus was, Christ was one of them sent to earth. So, they never die. I mean, they can regenerate their organs and bodies. They look forever young. They're always looking like in their 30s. They always seem to be very happy, receiving good news all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when Michel de Marquet was on their planet, people were wondering, why was Michel de Marquet so sad? Because his facial expression, like our facial expressions, to them seemed to be very sorrowful, very sad. So that's their question about Michel de Marquet, the author of the book. And they can control their birth because they're hermaphrodites. They can have sexual pleasures just on their own, and they can control the birth of their children. Michel de Marquet actually saw some children on their planet, and they can really just kind of download information from each other. So they don't have to learn, they don't have to read books, they can just download information from their peers.
Interesting. Yeah. So, like I said, it would be a shocker to me to have to experience all of that, to be honest. But there are so many references to the Bible. Do you feel that maybe a lot of people who were raised as Christians would reject the book entirely, and even what Desmarquet is trying to put out there?
Yes. Actually, from my personal experiences, people who believe in Buddhism like the book the most. People who are Christians, especially the fundamentalists and evangelicals, they really didn't like the book. They say this book is demonic, which I find it very interesting, because this book really talks about or makes a distinction between spirituality and religion. Spirituality is something that we need to focus on. Religion is organized by people. Like this is why they're called organized religions. And there are some distortions of ancient scriptures in the Bible. Some of them were intentional. Some of them were due to mistranslations. And this book specifically named the four different church councils that intentionally distorted the ancient scriptures of the Bible, including the Council of Nicaea, and there are three others. And it explains a lot of the mysteries in the Bible or inconsistencies in the Bible. For example, the Bible never talks about Jesus performing any miracles before the age of 28. Like, to me, that's a puzzle. That's very strange. Like, why just after the age of 28? Why not before? Why not the age of 25? This book explains everything, because Jesus and Christ are actually two separate beings. Jesus, the one who was indeed born out of Virgin Mary, was born from the embryo implanted by the ETs, by the Theobans.
Interesting.
And he traveled to India. So that's why some people say Jesus went to India and died in Japan. So why? So this is why there's a tomb of Jesus Christ in Shingo Village, Japan. People can search on Google or the internet or ChatGPT or something, like Shingo Village, tomb of Jesus Christ. You're going to find an article written by National Geographic talking about why there's a tomb of Jesus Christ in Japan. So that Jesus couldn't perform miracles because he was born that way, born from the embryo. Because when the astral body goes into the embryo, it has to pass through what the Nagas call the river of oblivion, forgetting everything happened in the past lives, forgetting all the knowledge to accumulate it, knowledge to perform miracles. But Christ, on the other hand, is a different being from Theoba. He actually took on the body of Jesus, the body of Jesus made by the Theobans, to resemble the body of Jesus. Okay. And then because he actually went inside the body of Jesus directly, he was able to remember all the knowledge to perform miracles. So that's why he was able to do everything as described in the Bible.
Yeah, and I've actually seen documentaries about the other Jesus, the tombs, especially the one in Japan. But we have a question up here from the Norm. He wants to know that the Ethiopians came to Earth with the first humans.
They didn't, the Theobans didn't come to Earth with the first humans, but they have been watching us. They have been observing the first humans on Earth. The first humans on Earth were actually the blacks and the yellows. I'll just use the colors because the yellows contain the Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, and Mongolians, Vietnamese, and so forth. So they were originally come from a different planet called Bracuatini about 1.35 million years ago. And the Caucasians came later. They first landed on the continent of Atlantis, which existed in ancient times. There was also a different group of people, the current-day Polynesians, who came from the planet Arimo X3 about 250,000 years ago. They landed on the continent of Lemuria, which existed back then, which had a very advanced civilization in which people didn't have to use money. People didn't take advantage of each other. and they just took whatever they needed from the supermarket or from the marketplace. And the Jewish people came to last. They came about 12,000 years ago from a planet called Hebra, a Category 3 planet. Remember that the blacks, the yellows, the Polynesians, and the Caucasians all came from a Category 1 planet. So there are a total of 9 different categories. But the Jewish people came from Category 3 planet, which is a higher category. So this is why when you do a lot of genetic studies, like you see a lot of similarities between the genes, among the genes of the blacks, the yellows, and the Caucasians, even the Polynesians. But the Jewish people, they're different. They have a kind of a different, like the variation is greater than the rest of us. So there's a,
interesting.
I think there's a reason for that.
And these are things that it's actually covered in the book, is it?
Yes.
Interesting. Yes. That is so much information. I couldn't imagine even 9 days getting that much information. That's incredible. So let's go back for a second. So you visit him the second time right before his passing. And you said you still feel kind of like you need to fulfill a mission to get the word out for the book. For you personally, what has the book done for you? And the reason I ask is because, you know, there's so many references to the Bible, Jesus and stuff like that, when we know that there's an entire religion, several religions, they've kind of broken up through Christianity, that use this as a guide for, you know, living a good life, how to treat people and things like that. Has that done anything for you as far as, you know, deviating either way?
Yeah, it really changed my entire life and course of my mission. And this is a book I read so many books on investments, books about biology and physics, and about ancient civilizations and ETs. But this book is the best investment. Reading this book is the best investment I ever made. Remember, I learned all the ways of investing with Warren Buffett, Soros, and Jeff Bezos, and those kind of guys. But this book really teaches and reveals the meaning of life, the secret of life, actually, which is to learn spiritual lessons. It's not to accumulate wealth, material wealth. It's we use our physical body as a tool to gain spiritual advancement, to purify our souls or our spirits. And this is the purpose of life. If people really want to be more spiritual, they should just follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Just to follow what Jesus actually said in the four Gospels in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Not to follow religious leaders, but to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's the key to love your neighbors and to love your enemies and to help each other, because we are all one. We are all created by God. Every person on earth, like whether you're Caucasian or Jewish or Catholic, we are all the same. We are all human beings trying to learn spiritual lessons here. I'm trying to really change the course of the future because you know, a lot of people don't realize that the world doesn't appear to be what they think it is like. Because if you really look at what happened in the past few years, like media is really kind of influencing a lot of people, the way they think. If the media is controlled by a small group of people, then they can really control how you think. So this book really wants people to wake up, to have more independent thinking, to think outside of the box, to really look at everything happening around them and to look behind the scenes, to really know that the politicians are just a puppet. And there's a small group of people, some people call the deep state, running everything and pulling the strings.
Right. Lots of conspiracies about those guys.
Yes, a lot of people have the conspiracy theories, but people need to think about these issues. For example, people need to know whether it's really the terrorists who struck down the buildings, the World Trade Centers, during the September 11th event. What about building number 7, who never got hit by a plane? It also kind of fell vertically, just like a controlled demolition. So people need to think about all these questions. And people need to think about whether the narratives of the government in the last 3 years were correct or not. What if the authoritative figures were wrong? Remember, like 400 to 500 years ago, we used to believe that the Earth was the center of the universe.
Right.
And the Catholic Church burned people on the stake for different opinions or different beliefs.
It was heresy.
So people need to think about this. What if Anthony Fauci or Tony Fauci is wrong about certain things? What if he's wrong? So people need to really kind of connect the dots.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fascinating you say that, right? Because these are all like conspiracies. Even the Fauci situation, you know, was he wrong? Was he right? Was he just telling us things just to make us feel better and think things were going to be okay? You know, it can go so many ways. Has anybody ever questioned whether or not the Ethiopia prophecy leads to its own religion?
No. This book actually is against all organized religions or all religions. It asks people to really follow their heart, their intuition, to connect with God directly and not to go through any intermediary. And we can just, because the most important sentence in the Bible, one of the most important sentences in the Bible is the kingdom of God is within you. It's mentioned in the Bible. So people should really focus on that sentence and to connect with God directly. And this book talks about the dangers on earth. Number one, being money. Number two, politicians. Number three, journalists and drugs. Number four, religions. So we need to be aware of the dangers on earth.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, that's interesting. Would you be opposed to someone reaches out to you and says, hey, Sammy, we need to start the Church of the Old Book. Would you do it?
I wouldn't do that. I mean, I would strongly oppose that. Okay. People just read a book and to have to obtain the knowledge so that you can know how to respond to the challenges you're going to be facing in the future. When you have the knowledge, you're going to be ahead of everyone else. You're going to know how to respond to certain events like in a few months or so. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, are you familiar with the name of Stephen Greer?
Yes.
Yes. And you are you familiar with CE5?
Yes.
Now, before we get to what I was getting to there, have you ever been contacted by the Ethiopians at all?
No, I ask not to unless it is absolutely necessary. I learn the best on my own because when the answers are given to you directly, you never learn. So just using analogy is that when you are trying to solve a mathematical problem, you learn the best if you find your own way to solve the problems. And you don't learn much if the answers are just given to you.
Right. No, that makes total sense. Yeah. Total sense. Do you think that folks like Stephen Greer, who promotes CE5 for ET contact, that he's being, I guess, honest with them, that really is a way to contact of the beings?
Well, let me put it this way. Stephen Greer's books are excellent books. And I do believe his kind of ideas that we need to be aware of the false flag operations and black projects of the government. I mean, I wrote an article, how do I say this? We don't really need to intentionally contact the ETs because our purpose of life is to really learn the spiritual lessons we need to learn. Each one of us has a different lesson to learn. I mean, if you're interested in contacting the ETs, you can certainly do so, but it's absolutely not mandatory and not necessary. But having said that, if you really enjoy the event, just go to C5. I encourage you to experience it.
Yeah.
Even though it's not necessary.
Incredible. We talk about it a lot, especially on the podcast, but I don't think I've known anyone that's ever really been to any of his events. But it's interesting that so many people will get together to try to contact extraterrestrials, not knowing whether or not they are actually there.
You know, one thing I'd like to mention is that I've been trying so hard to get Stephen Greer to read this book because I think it's going to help him. But he's very strong-minded.
Oh yes, he is. you can tell just by the way he presents himself.
Yes,
absolutely. So we got the book, and you got that out there. It recently has the book seen a resurgence in popularity, or?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, my goal is to have at least 1% of the world population to know the messages of the book, because 1% will change everything. And I think recently the book has been getting more popularity in the US. It was very popular in Australia and very popular in China and Taiwan. But I think there's more room to go. There's room for potential development. And so if you want to spread the words, please do help me out.
Absolutely. So I know the book is available on Amazon, so we'll have that link. And actually have a picture of it. But I have one more question. So I don't want to keep you too long. But this is a fantastic picture.
Yes.
It's a great picture. If Michelle was here today, what would he tell us?
He would ask everyone to read the book because it's going to give people knowledge. And he would tell people to really kind of follow their heart and to know what is really going on behind the governments, and to act together, because he's a man of action for sure. He took immediate action after he came back, and he would advise us to do the same, because it's only by concerted actions that we can change the world for the better. We should follow the footsteps of Gandhi in India, using nonviolent protest or nonviolent resistance to mm-hmm. rise up against tyranny. Because if you think about it, when we act together and to have a strike, the poor people lose very little. It's the super wealthy, the financiers, the 12 families that lose the most, because they gain monetary interest by enslaving us. If we no longer work for them, they have to listen to our demands. So this is the gist of the book. We have to act. We have to unite.
Right. You can't just be silent. You got to go up there, but don't ruffle too many feathers, because there's nice ways to do things.
Yes.
We have a question here from GameVit. So just to give you some background, GameVit does see a lot of UFOs. Some he's caught on video, especially at night. Do you think that... It kind of flows away from the conversation of the book, but do you think that sometimes extraterrestrials do show up to certain people, kind of like Michelle?
Yes, they do show up to certain people. And I mean, the way it goes is that they don't intervene directly. And this is actually not their mission for most of the ET races, except for the Theobans, who have been guiding us throughout history. And they sometimes intervene indirectly. They sometimes intervene directly. They directly intervened during World War II by preventing Germany from being the first country to develop the atomic bomb. And I have proof and verification of how that happened. In that sense, they sided with the US government, and they kind of intervened. You can put it as a direct intervention, but most of the time they intervene indirectly by having certain people like Michel Demarquet to write a book to pass on the messages. They never serve the meal on the plate. They kind of lead us and guide us to the right direction. And that's actually the best way to learn, because if they intervene so much, we wouldn't be able to evolve our own.
Yeah, we kind of have to have that first-hand experience.
Yes.
In order to learn from what we're doing. So the book itself is available on Amazon. Actually, here's a little clip of it right there that I got. So we'll add the link in the description for folks to be able to go and check out the book on Amazon. And from what I've heard, none of the proceeds from the book sales go to you.
That's right. It goes to the copyright holder. I mean, the key is to obtain knowledge. I mean, this price, like $20, is really... And people, if you don't want to pay for the money, you can search on Google and find a free PDF version. You don't really have to buy the book. I know some people have financial difficulties, and you can just get a free copy online.
Absolutely. And like I said, the book is out there. And like Samuel said, you can't look for a PDF version. I think the Norm might have found a PDF version of the book. And he's been reading it. Mm-hmm. Actually, today he started reading it. So he's getting that message for sure. Samuel, I think it's incredible what you're doing. Like I said, a lot of people, you know, when they look at the message and just the context of it, some of them, they do shy away from it. But I feel like you have a really honest, how can I say, intentions behind spreading the message of the book.
Yes, because I know the one thing that Michel Demarquet didn't write in the book. If I don't spread the messages, I think we're going to be heading in the wrong direction.
Right. Well, Samuel, thank you so much for coming on today. And the link to your bio is also in the description, so folks can read your bio. And also, I believe they can even message you through the links.
Yes, they can contact me by email or search my name on Facebook and to contact me directly.
Fantastic. I appreciate your time today, Samuel. And thank you for sharing Michel's journey and the message that he had for us.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go, folks. That was Samuel Chong, a fantastic interviewee. I said I did a lot of research this week and listening to a lot of his other interviews. And to be honest, listen, he's not someone who's out there who's giving you gloom and doom. He's really out there sending a message of better humanity. It is tied to Michel Descartes' experience, ET experience, and that's why we kind of gravitated to his story. But at the end of the day, you have to make the choice. You want to read the book. As he said, the book is free in PDF, so you'll be able to come to the conclusion if that message is truly pure and whether it'll benefit yourself and humanity. So I recommend you look for the book, check it out, get a reading. And if you have questions, reach out to Samuel. Like I said, he's a really nice guy, and I'm sure he'd be happy to help you answer any questions that you might have from reading the text. This is the end of the episode for today. I thank you guys for visiting and giving Samuel the floor to present this text to you and his experience with Michel and the Theobans, which is, like I said, it's a fantastic story. And me, I probably would have had a brain meltdown being Michel in Australia and coming back after 10 days of getting all that information. That is just, it is something else. So all the links are in the description. And all I got to say is thank you for watching today. We'll be back on Sunday. Ciao.
I don't give a damn. I don't really care about you and your problems. I don't give a damn. You talk way too much. I have heard enough about you and your problems. I don't give a damn. Cause I'm the real, but I'm feeling differently. You're making plans to get to France, but don't wanna face the fact that I ain't got time, I ain't got time, I ain't got time for that. Staying up late, sleeping all day, dreaming about Cadillacs. Buying new shoes, hanging by the pool, sipping on Coke and Jack. Calling my phone when you feel alone, but I'll never call you back. Cause I ain't got time, I ain't got time, I ain't got time for that. Okay for me, 'cause